This is Tall Boy Radio. Each week, your hosts, Beans, Gaz and Andy, grab a beer and discuss our topic of the week. We try to keep things uncomplicated. The premise for this podcast is as simple as we are. Not only can you listen to us wherever good podcasts are found, you can also watch us. Just search Tall Boy Radio on YouTube. If you have a story and want to feature on the show, drop us an email at tbrpodcast@hotmail.com or leave us a comment on social media at Tallboy Radio on Twitter and Facebook and at Tallboy Radio Podcast on Instagram, or leave us a message via the Anchor app, which we can play on the show. This is a Beans Does Stuff production. Anyway, the show is about to start, so go grab yourself a cold one, sit back and enjoy. Hello and welcome. And if you were expecting an episode of Tallboy Radio hosted by Beans, Gaz and Andy, you're going to be not disappointed. Hopefully this will be an improvement because we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. Tonight, it is Tallboy's Den. We've got two guys who are going to pitch to us, try and prize that money out of our fingers, see how that goes. So do we want to introduce ourselves before our guests say hello?
Hi guys. Really looking forward to this. We'll wait and see sort of what happens over the next sort of half an hour, 40 minutes, an hour, however long it may be. So, really looking forward to this. Can't wait.
Theopathy Gaz.
Theopathy Gaz is me, yeah. Yeah.
Andy?
Hello. I'm going to be drinking JD and sit back and enjoy the show. I've got a few questions lined up, so we're all right.
Good today. Are any of them about Vimto?
Oh, just cross them off. No.
Yeah, and for tonight, we're looking at Duncan but Andy time.
But Andy time, yeah. Yeah.
And for myself, tonight I am Tuca Sully Beans, or Beans, whatever you want to call me, but preferably Tuca. And of course, I will be drinking Double Trouble. And I am starting off with the vodka, which I have muddled with some watermelon and soaked with some pomegranate seeds to give it some nice flavour, a nice rich red colour, and I'll be drinking that with some tonic water, so we'll see how that one pans out. And of course, I'll be drinking it out of a Double Trouble gin glass. So, welcome to the den, gentlemen, if you'd like to introduce yourselves.
There you go, Scott.
Okay. Hi, Dragons. Can I just say you're looking fantastic and the prep is superb so far. My name's Scott Borthwick, and I'll let David introduce himself.
I'm David. We are Double Trouble Drinks, and we're here today to pitch to you for a £20,000 investment in our business. Scott's going to kick us off, and can I just say that Andy is probably our least likely investor, given what he's doing.
Early. Quite probably. So, you're looking for £20,000, and what percentage are you willing to give up for that?
So, as I say, I'm Scott, and we're here today to offer you the chance to get an early for our new company, Double Trouble Drinks, and offer you a stake of 5% in exchange for £20,000 investment. We believe that the bare minimum you can expect from a drinks company as quality packaging and exceptional spirits, and that's what we do. We believe also that to disrupt the drinks industry, that you need to serve communities, and not just geographically, but communities that share the same interests, like-minded people who share a passion. And in our case, we're a drinks company that's basically devoted to serving the global Dutch community.
Excellent. So, roughly then, how many people in the UK play darts, do you know?
So, we estimate it to be around 50 to 60,000.
Okay, yeah.
I think there's around 10,000 play in the amateur leagues, and then people that don't play in amateur, that just play at home, etc. That's their estimations at the moment. I think the Guardian reported there's some 17 million in America play. And of course, it's big on and growing all over the world.
So, yeah, so it's a large community then, would you agree, Theo?
Yeah, Tuca. So you mentioned, say, 5% for a £20,000 investment. What will you use the money for if you are lucky enough to get an investment then? What will that £20,000 go towards? How will it be broken down?
Yeah, so there's two things we're looking at. There is, we're looking at investing in whiskey and producing our very own blendy whiskey. So it may go towards that. We've also had advice from people that we should protect the brand in Europe and the US if we're looking to go global. So it's quite expensive. And we've had other advice that says we don't need to do that. So we're really looking for some support from the Dragons to help us make that decision as to whether we invest in more stock or whether we invest in brand protection in Europe and the US.
So when you say invest in stock, how much of that £20,000 or your own capital would you envisage having said tied up or using for stock? How much would be used for sort of advertising, marketing purposes?
So the majority, so I think one of the bits that we probably should have opened with in the pitch is that we've laid the foundations for what we believe can go on to become a global brand. And the way we serve the darts community really is twofold. So really supporting organisations amongst the darts community, be that the disability darts community that we serve or local leagues or even players, and also promoting the other businesses and YouTube channels and other things within the darts community. They're what help us stand out as a drinks company and really serve the market that we're serving. And the your question, so it'll depend on how much we invest in the brand protection and how much that actually, that I would envisage at least 75% will go in stock.
Right, okay.
So that's 75% of your children's inheritance, Theo.
Yeah. So 75% in terms of stock, and so the brand protection, so you said that you'd had a bit of sort of advice in terms of do you need that, do you not need that? How much does that actually cost then?
So the quotes that I've had for the US is around 5,000 to protect in the US. So I'm not sure how much it is in Europe. I would imagine similar.
Okay.
And how many similar products? Sorry, go on.
No, so if we do both at the same time, that would obviously be half the investment. But I think we would either concentrate on one or the other based on whatever your guidance would be. As I say, Scott and I, this is our first business, so we're learning as we go.
So what are the similar products are to you then? Are there any other products then that just serve the darts community or just serve one community?
No, to our knowledge, I believe we're probably a world first. I think there'll be drinks companies that serve communities, local geographic communities, and that's who they mainly market to. But I don't think there are many that serve one global community with a similar interest. Mm. I might be wrong, but I believe we're a world first.
Okay, so in terms of what you want from us then, obviously you're talking about £20,000 for 5%. What is it that you want from us then? So as Dragons, what is it that you would want us to, or what do you believe that we can offer your business?
So I think the experience that you've had of growing global companies and the contacts that you've got across the world to decide what is the best approach for us to take the brand global. Like, what should our strategy be? So that mentorship, if you like, plus your contacts and business knowledge, really.
So you've mentioned sort of going global quite a few times. How scalable is your business then?
So as in how many bottles could we produce tomorrow without
so if your business all of a sudden overnight went stratospheric and you had a significant number of orders, sort of what would your lead time be from order to recipient from the customer? How easily would it be for you to perhaps turn around 5,000, 10,000 units, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah. So I think we could turn around 5,000 units in in a month, I think. We could turn around. If we got to 10,000, I think we might need to look at different options, because everything we do today is fairly small batch production. So if we were getting to that level, we would have to look at alternative suppliers, I think.
And in terms of, if you did get to that level, what sort of finances would you need then to make that scalable? So would you need to be looking at perhaps bigger distilleries or bigger suppliers, etc.? And what would the costs associated to that be?
So I think if we were to grow, one of the positives about that, if we were to switch supplier and do volume, is we would be able to reduce our cost. Now, my concern would be, would we maintain the quality of the product? But we would clearly spend a lot of time making sure that was the case. But yeah, so I think the bigger distilleries that could do that for us, the costs would be lower, because we'd be placing quite a significant order, as opposed to 100 bottles at a time or 180 bottles at a time in our case.
At what point then would you look at producing your own product, investing in a still to produce your own gin and your own vodka? And obviously whiskey's a little bit more complicated than that, but at what point would you look at producing your own products?
So we're looking at that at the moment. So I've recently started a distilling course myself to learn how to do it and get the understanding. The reason we did it the way that we did it was more because we had no idea whether we were going to be successful. So to invest the capital in our still ourselves and go through that whole process was risky. So we decided to outsource and went to a local work distiller. And it's worked well for us, because both Scott and I have worked full time up to this point. We've both got young families, so it was probably the right thing for the right time. Whether that changes, that could well change in the next 3 to 4 months.
So therefore, is that a decision that you are likely to make in terms of this becoming your sole income, your sole venture? So you're both currently working at the moment?
Correct.
Right, okay. So if this was to become your sort of a sole venture, so how much would you pay yourself?
So a lot, because I'm worth it, basically.
right, okay. So in terms of, let's just talk some figures and some numbers then. So in terms of product sales, just talk me through the sales that you currently have for, so let's go for your gin line. How many sales have you got at the moment? What's your sales figure?
So for their first year, we've probably done around about 1,000 bottles all in. So putting all together, we'll have done close to, we're probably more than that, but it won't be far away from 1,000 bottles.
And what does a bottle retail at?
25.
Okay, and then you mentioned, so your other lines then, so there's rum, which has only just recently been introduced, is that correct?
Correct.
So, I mean, in terms of sort of sales or projected sales for rum over the next 12 months?
So I think we'll do at least 1,000 bottles of rum next year.
And again, that retails at 25?
25, yeah.
And would that be the same for vodka?
Correct.
And again, you would be expecting similar levels of sales over the next 12 months?
Yeah. So I think either year two or year three, we'll do around 3,000 bottles. Our aim really by year five is to get to 10,000 bottles sales.
Per product line?
No, so
in
all
total. So that was by year...
We should, depending on how well it goes, and the price of whiskey is slightly different, but we should also have whiskey by then.
You mentioned, was that by year five that you said? So you'd be looking at 10,000 bottles.
We just frozen a little bit there.
Yeah, that's right. He's disappeared. That'll be David's internet. He stays in the middle of nowhere.
Right. So, Scott, are you okay with numbers then? Are you all aware? So 10,000 bottles in total by year five.
That's the predicted outcome we envisage, yep, if things went the same way, yep.
So effectively in year five, you'll be looking at about 250k's worth of sales.
That's right, yep. So that was how my maths was looking as well, so that sounds good.
So tell us about the company valuation then at 400,000.
Oh, so 400,000. That was slightly different from what me and David discussed last night. So,
unless I've got my maths wrong, is that right, dude? 20,000 times 20 is 400,000, yeah?
Yeah, so what would you value the company at then?
Well, I think we were kind of erring on the side of caution in relation to valuation. We were going probably lower. I think they tell you to base it upon, I think it's 10% of your projected outcome in the first year or something like that. So then I think we had based it around about 200,000. When you start over egging it, then they pick up on it. So we were trying to go lower to save them digging holes into our maths, if you like, and then we would start tripping ourselves up. So I'm sure we based it on 200,000 when we went through the figures last night. So
right, okay. So so in terms of, you mentioned it in by year five, you would want. So you would expect £250,000 worth of sales.
Yeah.
At what point? Oh, he's back. He's here. So I'm just grilling Scott. It's fine,
yeah.
Dave. You just
you just ducked the finance questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank God you're back.
Scott was actually just going to give us 15%, but he said not to tell you that. But so we were talking about 250K's worth of sales roughly by year five. That was in total, and that's based on about 10,000 units. How close to that then would be profit? How much of that would be profit by year five? When would you expect to make profit?
Yeah, so we were expecting, so we roughly work off a £5 margin is what I was saying before my broadband decided to cut out. Now, a lot of the time we reinvest the profits in the business to develop new products as we're growing. Now, my expectation would be that by year five, we've stabilised, we know what we're doing, and we are genuinely making that £5 as profit, and that could be paid as dividends to shareholders, or depending whether they wanted to exit with that amount of equity.
Right, okay. So you mentioned shareholders. So in terms of your, how much capital you have for the business, so how much are you and Scott then going to put in personally? You don't have to answer that, by the way. I'm just pretending to be a dragon, by the way.
No, that's fine. I'm quite happy to answer it. So I'm looking forward to hearing Scott's answer as well. So I've invested the majority. So I've invested about 20,000, and depending on where we take it to, we've not really asked our mum and dad, have we, Scott, about investing. I think they would help us if we needed to. So we could probably access another 20,000 should we need to. Depends how it goes with you guys.
Right. So you've invested 20, you might be able to get another 20, and you've asked us effectively for 20, right. mainly to promote the whiskey line. Is that my understanding?
Yes, it's really for your expertise in business, and also to help with the initial costs of protecting the brand, if that's how we decide to do it, or stock to keep growing and generate more profit to reinvest.
So in terms of where we currently are, so what are your main cost areas then at the moment? Obviously, you mentioned somebody has to produce your products and bottle them. And so what are your main sort of cost areas at the moment then?
Our costs really break down as about £15 for the actual liquid, around about 250 for the bottle, about 60, 70-ish p for the labels. And then the rest is really sundries around website costs, licensing costs that we lump in with overall. And that's how we get to the around about £20 per bottle.
Right.
So, the main way for us to reduce our cost would be to do it ourselves, or scale to a size where we were using a major distillery to produce 10,000 units at with machines. That would be our main way to, if we wanted to try and half our costs, if you like, or reduce them significantly, that's the way to do it.
Do you want to tell us about then the cost and the pricing of the whiskey that you're about to add then? Obviously, because that's a very different market. And I know Duncan over there is very interested in the whiskey brand that you have on offer.
Well, so it was quite... This is the thing that I'm really excited about. So as much as I like gin, and I'm certainly a fan of the rum and the vodka, but whiskey is like a honeymoon to Nyla. I've been to loads of distilleries all around Scotland, touring whiskey distilleries, and I'm a massive fan. So to have our very own blend created by award-winning blenders with some malts from Isla, some various other grain whiskey from across Scotland, Speyside, etc. is quite exciting. And the place where the blend is stunning, and I'd love to take some of the investors along there one day to see it. But yeah, so it's slightly more expensive. So the 50 miniatures that we've got this morning work out at around about £5 cost-wise. So the chances of us going big on miniatures with whiskey is probably quite slim, because that's quite expensive. And the way that we'll end up doing that, and I don't know if we've not really got anything to show you, but we'll end up having this core range of miniatures in a 4-pack. So we'll still be able to keep the cost reasonable for people, but we basically will not make anything off the whiskey, if you like, because we'll be trying to keep that price lower. But it should work out fairly close. We may need to price the whiskey around about £30 as opposed to £25. Because the reason the miniatures are so expensive is the charge for filling per bottle, and the price is the same for a miniature as it is for a big bottle. So it works out really expensive doing miniatures. But you live and learn. And as I say, we're making this up as we go along. So
That's interesting. So as you say, you live and you learn then. What's been the biggest mistake you've made, and what have you learned from that?
Scott, what do you think?
Yeah, you bought the flags, the 26 flags. That's one of your biggest errors in that judgment. Yeah, sure.
Hang on.
There's one just next to you there, Theo.
Oh, yeah, them. Trying to get them to them. Nobody Let wants them, even when you're trying to give them away.
What do you think, Dragons? Do you think they're a good investment? They made a great post for your Halloween there.
They did.
And they came in handy.
You see, I would quite happily pop one of them up next to my sort of dartboard, and I would show that and say that's the score that I hit quite a lot. But yeah, absolutely. Whether or not there's a mass market for them, I'm not 100% sure. But if you've got any spare, send them over, because I'll quite happily use them.
We're going to include them in all future orders, basically.
Just to try and get rid of them.
Just one question for me. In terms of getting your product to Europe and then to America, what difficulties do you envisage in that, and what are the costs associated with sort of exporting initially into Europe and then obviously into America?
So the costs really are fairly low as long as we pass the full cost of postage on to the consumer or the business that's buying, basically. So we can ship to Europe for around about between £12 and £18, and we can ship to the US for about £26, I think was the last cost that I got. And hence why we created products for particularly the German market, where it was buying more than one bottle, so that it was like they were paying the same amount per bottle postage wise than people here. But we're inexperienced about marketing in Germany and other parts of the world. So I think hence being on the show, really, and hopefully you'll be able to give us guidance on what the best approach is.
Well, certainly Theo and I both have a BTEC in business and finance. So
we do.
That offers you some reassurance.
Duncan and Tyne, what do you think?
Duncan?
Hi. So I was just going to ask you, you guys said you're both working. What's your backgrounds?
Go on, Scott.
My background is completely nothing to do with anything that I do with Double Trouble at all. So I work for a housing association as a clerk who works. So completely different, and as you could probably see for some of the posts, we just make it up as we go along half the time. So, yeah, nothing at all in the drinks industry or in marketing. So,
but you do drink and play darts.
Oh, that's the main point, is it not? Is that not why we're all here? Yeah,
very much so. Very much so. So,
I'm similar. So 20 years in the telecoms industry, I was sponsored to do a business degree and then realised, what have I done 20 years in the telecoms industry for when I could be working in the drinks industry? So that's how it sort of came about. And then probably back to the biggest mistake question was when I asked Scott if he wanted to partner with me.
In terms of, I just mentioned that, in terms of the ownership of the business then, is it just you two? Are you, so you're 50-50 straight down?
David doesn't want me to see any of the...
100% Dave, is it? Yeah. Fix your brains whenever you need, right. So in terms of that, then, you're willing to give up 5% to one of us, or would you, if there was more than one dragon, would you be willing to give 5% to each of those? What would you be willing effectively to release?
Yeah, I mean, so depending on the dragon and what they think they can bring and how rapidly they could help us grow and serve the customers across the world, then we would be willing to give up more. Probably quite a lot more if there was a belief in, and past to work with us. It's going to take someone that's willing to put the effort in, because as we say, this is our first business and we're learning a lot as we go, really. So yeah, we would be willing to give away more for the right dragon.
Right, okay. And obviously one of the questions that I asked earlier was, what is it you want from an investment? It's not just their cash. You're going to want them know how you're going to want them to effectively be hands-on. You're going to want them to be marketing, advertising, distribution, that sort of this. Distribution networks, I assume that you would, if you were going through Europe and America, you would just literally send it from your, do you have a warehouse? Does it effectively come from, where, talk me through the process of when you get an order from America, let's say, how does that product then get to that person?
Yeah, so for an American order today, and we've not really opened up sales to America, but if we got one, it would go via UPS, I think, is the one that we're signed with for America. It would come in to our system. We would pick it up probably quite quickly. And have we lost everyone or are people
still? No, we're still here.
All right, cool. So we'd pick up, get processed. I would probably process it at the moment, package it up from our outbuilding and then our licensed premises, that is really. And then I think the UPS team collect from our address and they ship it from them. And I think, I'm pretty sure it's the UPS one for the US. And they are, because they're an express shipper, it's like 5 days. It's almost quicker than we can get it to Europe. So it's quite quick. The service is quite good if people were to order. Once we've got that sorted out, then. But I think it's just the expense. Unless they're buying three bottles, like £25 shipping is expensive to add on to the cost of the gin. Yeah. So that's our biggest problem. And I think there'll be alternatives. Like we know, we've been in contact with a company in Germany who are willing to ship from Germany if we wanted to ship. Like a 100 bottles or 1,000 bottles to them, they've said they would ship it from their warehouse for us. So we've got options, and that'll definitely help bring the cost down if we do that. Now, they have asked, can we do similar for them? And I need a bonded warehouse, which we've no got, but I'm looking into that. So there are things that can help us serve those markets better.
Just a quick question on, you mentioned there that you effectively would process the order. And did you say that you'd got some licensed premises then, is that what you said? Yeah. So how big is that? And I suppose it goes back to my scalable question in terms of how much stock do you hold in there, if any, or?
We hold a small amount of stocks, probably around 200 bottles max. And then any bigger volume stock stays at the distillery. So,
right. Okay.
We've got, there's space if we wanted to produce 5,000 and hold it, we could do that.
Right, okay.
So just going back to your products then. So obviously we've talked about the whiskey, the rum, the gin and the vodka. Would you say then the gin was your number one product? That's what you launched with. I have to say I'm drinking it now with berries and tonic water as recommended. I've gone with blackberries and blueberries, and it is an excellent product. Would you consider that your premium product then that you push out there? That's what you're known for.
Yeah, I think, well, if you can remember back to when we started, the first question we asked was, what spirit would you like us to make? And gin won by quite a margin over vodka, and I think it was what, and I think even still, if you were to look at global sales of spirits, gin will still be up there as one of the biggest sales. And I think for that reason, and the fact that it tastes pretty good, we're a customer base. But I think people will try different things. That's one of the things that why we've gone on to do vodka, why we've gone on to do rum, and I think. Even some of the suggestions that were made on here around, do we do special limited edition stuff for the for like professional or ex-professional darts players and things like that.
In terms of the gin,
things that we can do to keep the product fresh. No, go on.
No, just gonna say in terms of the gin, then are you not concerned that it does seem at the moment to be quite a sort of saturated, crowded marketplace, and what would stand you out from other sort of locally produced sort of gins, as well as the bigger, more well-known sort of gins that you see nationwide?
Yeah. So the main thing that stands us out, and the main thing that the way that we chose to compete really was just to pick one community and serve them as best as we could. And the ways that we serve is really, with the competitions that we do, or with the sponsorship that we do, or with the support in the disability dart stuff. Basically, if you've got a choice of 100 gins to choose from, or more probably, and you're passionate about darts, then you're probably going to choose ours.
I've noticed you're very tapped into the community then, the social media community. You know, as Scott said, you post a lot, you post daily, several times a day, and you get a lot of feedback from people and people buying into it. And obviously recently we had the Dart Wolf giveaway, which was fantastic to see. How do you grow that then? How do you grow from your 4,500 followers that you have today? How do you grow that to 45,000 and still have the buy-in off all of those?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's why I asked it.
Scott, do you want to take that one?
Whoa. Well, we need somebody that's trained in marketing. For. That would certainly help, because we look at other companies and the way that they run competitions, or the way that they promote their business, but we don't really want to be the same as them per se. We want to stand out to our community, so the darts community. So we try and make our posts slightly different in that sense, but I don't know how we grow for that point. Obviously promoting different spirits is one thing. Maybe we'll have one-off bottles in the future of different flavors, or maybe a different flavored vodka. So we're kind of evolving all the time, if you like. But other than that, I'm not quite sure how we would get further followers.
So leading on from that, then, and obviously you do a lot in terms of the social media aspect. Where do you currently advertise then? How do people know about your products then? Is it just through social media, or are you in any sort of written press or locally? Or
it's purely social media. I mean, the three accounts that we've got, obviously Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's probably more prevalent on Twitter, because you're getting quite a lot of engagement with people, and people have feedback, and obviously you kind of have more of a conversation via Twitter rather than the other two. The other two are kind of harder to gauge, and whether people are looking at them, because we didn't get an awful lot of interaction, especially via Facebook, it's hit or a miss. I mean, there's some posts we put out and we think, oh, we should get quite a bit of feedback for that. And you're lucky if we get 10 likes and then we'll put something else out. And then you'll get 60 likes and you're thinking, well, what's the difference between that one and that? So
Facebook, I mean, with the adverts on that, unless you're paying for them, they don't get the reach that you need. We discovered that.
So one last thing, just in terms of the social, if your answer to my last question as to where do you advertise currently, can what you hope to be a global product that serves a global darts community, can that survive purely based upon social media advertising?
I think we will need to change our approach, but even just to stay current and stay fresh. So I think, we are in things like the print of Hockey Magazine or Darts World Magazine. We've advertised in both of them. So one of our approaches is to grow organically, really. So we've not done a lot of paid advertising on Facebook, Instagram, or none on Twitter. Everything that we've done on there has been organic growth. And one of the things I wouldn't want to do, and the way Adam asked the question is sort of made this point, is we want an engaged audience that want to learn about the story, be part of the brand, and be part of the journey. No, like, there are ways for us to get 100,000 followers, right? But it's not what we want to do, basically. I'd much rather people speak. Like, a lot of the interest has come from people telling their friends about us and things like that, and that is how we want to grow. Now, that won't help us grow at scale overnight, but it's what's made us get to where we are today.
So what percentage then of your customers have come from social media? What percentage of your social media, rather, have you converted into customers?
So many customers, so 5,000, so 1,000 sales. Not all of them are social media, because we have done some pop-up shops and we've got one coming up in a week's time, in fact, on Saturday. So it's probably around, I'd say maybe 800 of our sales have come from social media.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So you talked then about obviously buying into the darts community, and we've talked, you know, the limits of that. 67,400 2015-2016 people, that is the last survey I could find about how many people were playing darts. And I believe you've mentioned about the idea of tapping into other communities. Have you got any other communities in mind then that you would be interested in getting involved in?
Yeah, so one of the other projects that we're working on at the moment is to try and repeat what we've done for the darts community, but in a slightly different way, small scale to begin with. So, for example, so where I live, the over the years, the economy's dwindled away because of mills closing, technology, things moving abroad, right? So, so there's not that many jobs in the town. There's an aging demographic of people. And so there is a need for economic regeneration through businesses, startups, etc. And so one of the things that we're looking to do, and that's why I'm learning distilling, is to do that, to do what we do, but small scale to begin with for clubs. So, for example, so Scott and I both played football when we were younger and both still pretend that we can play just now. Anyway, so that's it. I play for the local club in Langham, and they try to raise funds every year for new kit or new bags or whatever it might be. And so one of the things that we'll look to do is create a drinks brand for them, that even if it sells 100 bottles and they take so much profit from that, that it helps pay for some of their kit. At least it's something new, it's quite interesting, and it supports them, if you like. And they'll obviously drink in the pub, and hopefully it'll sell there. So it's really trying to do that for as many clubs and communities as possible, to create that almost like a way of them self-funding without needing to fund through sponsorship events or things like that. Does that make sense?
It does. And I suppose if you had your own still and you're producing, you know, maybe if you produced it in your town there, you're obviously creating jobs potentially for those people. And perhaps another way to do it was actually producing your spirits or specific spirits or specific blends for customers that came to you and said, look, you've found a way into this community. Could you do the same for us? So say, for example, as a podcast, we could come to you and say, we would like a gin themed, the Tallboy Radio gin themed. Is it something then that you could do for us? And then perhaps that might be a model to take down the line.
Yeah, it's exactly that. So it's any organization. It's less about individuals, but any organization really. So be that a business, be it a club, be it a charity even, that needs to generate funds or just wants a product created that they can sell, then that's exactly the business model that we're looking at.
Excellent. And probably the elephant in the room then, one thing that we haven't talked about up to date is bricks and mortar retail. You know, we've got Theo here, he's a big retailer. Duncan, fond of his gyms, I suppose you could get them in the bars there. And obviously then myself, Tuca, I'll puff my chest out and get involved with anything at a higher percentage. So bricks and mortar, don't tell him I said that if you didn't mean to. Bricks and mortar retail. You must have looked at how you can do that and you know, what are the costs involved with that? Because you look at, say, another Scottish gin that I'm familiar with, Edinburgh Gin. They found their way into, I think it was John Lewis, was the first place I became aware of them selling their product. I visited the distillery in Edinburgh, fantastic gin. And, you know, they've done a different thing rather than focusing on different spirits. They've done different brands of gin, like their rhubarb and ginger is a fabulous one. But they now get their products, you'll see them in the Co-op, you'll see them in Sainsbury's, and they're pretty much everywhere. That must be a route that you guys have explored or considered.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it comes down to the different business model. When you're producing at scale of 10,000, 20,000 bottles, then you can flood the supermarket shelves at as low cost as possible, because they obviously want their margin. But it means you're making a lot less per bottle than you would be the way we're doing it. So I think we will have to consider that should we scale to the level, and it'll just become whether there becomes enough interest and enough, like if we go on and win the Scottish Gin Awards in the next week for best newcomer or best fruit flavored gin, then clearly that will be a potential enabler to get non-darts fans to want to try it, for example. So things like that will help us, but it will be, based on our current forecasts, it will be by year five we're thinking about that. And the way that we're trying to serve customers in shops is we're without the cost, if you like. So we're doing pop-up shops where we can, where it, like the one that we've hired at the weekend is low cost, hire it for a day, let people know we're there. Come along and buy a hamper for Christmas or whatever.
I was just gonna go back to some figures. So I'm gonna grill you on the figures. If you didn't get the idea of this, I was the figures man. So you mentioned by year five you expected sales of about 250k. Yeah, that's right. And I've just been looking. Did you say that the cost per bottle would be about £20 a bottle? It retails about 25.
Correct.
So you're looking at effectively in year five, based on your current figures, effectively looking at costs to be about 200k, sales to be about 250k.
Correct.
So you'd be looking at what about by year five, a 50k profit, gross profit, 50k net profit?
Gross profit.
So 50k gross profit. So what would be your anticipated net profit then, let's say in year two and then year five? If it isn't, well, let's say not year two, because I don't suppose maybe you'd be making a profit, but what would be your net profit then in year five?
So I think it would be 40,000 based off rough tax costs.
So 40k in year five. Okay. And then in terms of between now and year five, are there any other investment opportunities? I mean, and obviously you're asking for £20,000 off one of us for 5%. You've mentioned the 20k you guys can put in. Are there any other sort of avenues down the road that you've thought about exploring, or are there any other potential sort of, I'm thinking of heavy investment in terms of, would you be willing to take on other partners? Are there other routes that you've investigated?
Yeah, I mean, we have looked at, should we consider things like crowdfunding to generate capital, is the other one we've given it a brief look. And we're because of the den, we're not really allowed to look at that for so long after it's been aired. But that may be a way for us to generate capital.
And in terms of how the business is owned, currently it's a partnership, yeah?
It's a limited company with 10 shares. I own all 10 shares.
When so, Scott right, okay.
Equity and then he can...
So it's a limited company at the moment then.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So down the line then, liability and all that. So down the line then, would you be looking at trying? I mean, I know you mentioned family, but would you be willing to try to get sort of friends and family involved in terms of a share option, for want of a better phrase?
Yeah, I think we would definitely. I think it's if we can see that we will be able to do what we're talking about doing, so by year five, those 10,000 bottles, and we can see that there's the interest and we can find the ways to reach the big venues like the Ali Pali and some of the big German venues. It's all becomes confidence then, because I wouldn't want to be saying to people, come and invest now, when we're still learning and we're still, I would feel nervous about it, if you know what I mean. As much as we believe in the brand, I'd still feel nervous about asking people for money. That's why we've invested our own money up to now. But as we grow and as we become more confident, then of course I would take Scott's money off him and invest that.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I think my sort of finance grillings,
I see you,
potentially are done.
It's clear that BTEC paid off.
Well, yeah.
So,
and owning my own business, obviously.
He did own his own business, much like Duncan. He had his own gym.
I did for 2 or 3 years.
We'll do an episode on that, and we'll dig into those finances.
We'll get
your dad on that one as well. So, one final one then from me before we move on to Duncan over there. He's going to really put the nail in the coffin. We're looking at the retail market. Have you considered, Danny, the ready-to-drink market, the RTDs? Have you considered that?
That's something we've looked at, really, because the cost for us to create the packaging and the number that we would have to order to do it would probably be a stretch for us at the same time as we're trying to build this core range of gin, vodka, rum and whiskey. And then the next step will be looking at some of the other stuff we've done. I mean, one of the next things that we're going to do, hopefully soon, and I believe that arrived today, is we've got the gold and silver bottles that we'll do as limited edition. Just we are normal gin and our normal vodka, but they'll be in gold and silver bottles to celebrate the Disability Darts World Cup. So the distiller collected them today and said that they look stunning. So I'm quite excited about sharing those with the world.
Oh, excellent. Well, I know we'll be at the Disability Darts World Cup, won't we? So we're very excited to see that.
We're very excited to hopefully record from Disability.
Yeah, you know,
we will be there. As I say, we explored some options and stuff. So it'd be great to get up there and see you guys and stuff. So that I can't wait for that actually. So really looking forward to that next year. So that's gonna be pretty cool.
Duncan, before we discuss offers, have you got any questions?
I heard whiskey and I'm in. There we go. I've been trying to keep track of all the questions, and I think all the ones I had marked down have been asked already. So, yeah.
Well, your whiskey's on its way, Duncan.
So that brings us to the question then, would we invest? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first, yeah. I would be wanting 10% for 20K, but yeah. No, I'm joking. I think you've got a great model. Take off now. This is just Gaz talking now. I'd look at, just from me talking to you now, just try and tighten up on figures in terms of like what specifically your costs are going to be, where specifically the money is going to go. Because from watching previous episodes and stuff, when you say, oh, what is my 20K? What is that going to go towards? And as well, most of it will go to whiskey and some of it will go to brand protection. Yeah, but how much? What specifically will that money be spent on? So maybe just try and tighten up on exactly what you would want that. And the only other thing for me is thinking about, A, are you asking for enough? Does 20K do what you want to do?
We're probably not, guys. I think we were sort of torn between, do you ask for too much, which they rip you apart for overvaluing your company?
Yeah.
And when we've only sold 1,000 bottles, then that's sort of what made me go for 20K, really, than as opposed to using more. But we probably could do with more to scale to a size that would allow.
Yeah, and it is, I get it's that catch. It's that catch 22. It's that, do you ask for more? But then they'll go, well, what am I going to get for that?
The other thing is, though, I mean, I've watched Dragon's Den a lot, you're obviously familiar with as well. And one of the things they are quite keen on, to them, they're probably looking at £20,000 isn't a vast amount of money to their pockets, you know. So they will often take a punt on what they would consider a smaller investment. So I think it might be quite a sensible approach.
Yeah, I wouldn't be going in, right, we want £150,000 for five, you know, but you might be looking at, you know, would an extra 10K be, you know, so would 30K for 5% or whatever. The other thing that I think about is, a lot of the time, because to them it's a relatively small investment, they'll actually invest in you two.
Yeah.
In terms of, okay, yes, the business model might be there. Now, you might not quite be there yet in terms of your business, but they'll invest in you two.
Yeah,
if they can see.
Yeah, you guys are investable, aren't they?
Yeah. So, you know, you tighten up on your figures and know your figures, because ultimately, if you know your figures, they know that you're taking the business seriously, and they know that it's not just a loof and that it's just a plaything whim sort of thing. So take your figures seriously, and then show the passion to them that you've shown to us, and you know what, you know, because obviously it's a massive passion for you in particular. It's what you want to do. My only nagging doubt is if. And don't take this from me, I'm just trying to, I'll be play devil's advocate. Can you guys, if it's something that you're going to do and give up your job to do, can you guys then afford to do that full time and still provide for family and this, that, and the other? That's the only thing, I say negative, and that sounds horrible, doesn't it? But for me as an individual, that's the only thing I would say.
Yeah, no, it's a genuine concern for us as well. And we probably couldn't, is the reality. And I will, like, as much as if I do, in fact, I am going to leave my job, but there's loads of reasons for that. And it's not just for this, but I will end up getting another job and doing this, continuing along these lines just now. It's the reality is we need to pay our mortgage, and that's the...
And I suppose that's a nice way of me saying, is that what you're going to do? So, but ultimately, I suppose if you, you know, when you do go onto the program, you know, these are the type of questions that they would ask. They would say, so okay, you've got this number. If this is what you're going to be doing, how much are you going to be taking out of that, and how does that affect what the business? And that they will ask you these questions, won't they? Because they're way more switched on, believe it or not, than me and Ad.
Yeah, I can't accept that.
I mean, I don't get it really, but.
I cannot believe that. No. And I think the way I would respond to that really would be just to say our plan is not to take anything. And maybe Scott will fall off his chair again here, but their plan is not to take any money out of the business for the next 5 years. It's to invest it all. So I will need to get another job and continue doing it in a similar way that we've been doing it.
And therefore, if you are going to do
it, because it won't grow to scale.
Yeah, but if you are going to do that, and I suppose if I was a dragon, I'd be like, okay, so if you are going to be working as well, how much time are you then going to dedicate to this? And is that worth me? And are you expecting me as the dragon to then effectively do your work for you when you've got another bit of a job? Do you know what I mean?
One thing actually that we never touched on, I've got a question here, I've just realised I've missed it, which I think is key. We never really touched on the charity and the side. Yeah. I know you guys mentioned it, but we never picked up on it, did we? I know probably Duncan's kicking himself now. I can tell the look on his face. He had that question, Jack. Yeah. But we, I think that for me is anything that an ethical business is, it piques my interest.
Yeah.
That those are the people. If I know I'm buying your gin and it's going towards the charities that you put it towards, I'm more inclined to spend my money on that than I am to spend it on a bottle of Edinburgh gin or a bottle of Gordon's.
Yeah, I think there's a movement, isn't there, towards ethically sourced, greener products, community-based, charity-based. So I think there is. So that certainly that would be worth mentioning in the pitch, maybe. And I know you perhaps can't talk numbers, but you know, how is the business formed? What's the driving philosophy of the business? It very much is, you know, give back to community, local community, you know, and I suppose, I don't know, but to me, people I feel as though will be more willing to invest in that than somebody that's just going to effectively pay a company that's got a fat cat and he's going to go, woo, there you go, give me loads of money, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
No. And their philosophy from the start has been to have a social impact, and any, whether it's doing what we're doing with the darts community or whether it's something else. My whole approach has been is that belief that all businesses should be doing that.
Yeah,
like that's just how they should operate.
Say that in your pitch. Say that 100%. It's not just us.
Yeah,
because obviously you've got, I don't know, it's Peter Jones, Deborah Mead, Tuca, and Yvette and Duncan. You know, so you've got these guys, and I'm not saying put them on the spot. Say, well, do your businesses do that? But
yeah,
you know,
I wouldn't take that approach.
Hold them to ransom, hold them to rights. Yeah, but certainly, you know, certainly, I think it's definitely a, if not a USP in terms of how you actually, well, no, it might be in terms of how you actually promote your sales. You know, you're not a charity, but you very much have the local community and charities at heart. And that's a real driving force behind why you set the company up, moving forward, what you want the company to be known as, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so for me, that would be, you know, that'd be a lovely slant to have.
100%. I think one thing we'll have to do as well with the podcast is bring you guys back on again afterwards.
Just to see what your actual...
How it compares and just to hear about your experiences.
That'd be brilliant.
Whether we need to take Tallboy Radio on there.
No.
Not investable.
Absolutely. The cherries out. But no, that'd be great if there was a follow-up just to, you know, even if it didn't go out, just to catch up with you guys, just to say, you know, what was it like? What was the experience like? How did you feel? What was the feedback after? Because I don't know whether or not, do you get a chat from Evan? Did the Dragons then see you afterwards? And I generally, because all you see is them get down that lift, Evan and...
Their time is expensive, isn't it? Let's be honest. Those five people.
But what, do you record it on the day and then they get to chat to you in the green room, for example, after or what? I don't know. Or is it literally like, see you later, guys, out the door and you're gone? I don't know. But I'd be interested
looking at the paperwork, that's kind of how it's going to go.
You've
had your 15 minutes, beat it.
How long did you get then, sorry? Did you say?
Oh, it's 3 minutes is your pitch.
Yeah.
So once you've done your pitch, we'll let them taste the spirits and things like that. And then, David's had enough. The plan is to do our pitch, and the plan is to actually get them up and have a wee throw at the board, then taste the spirits of their choice, and then they grill you after that. That's the layout of the day, if you like. And then I think it's pretty much the way it's written and the media pack that they give you is, right, you'll go off and you'll only see them or speak to them if you get a deal.
If they invest.
And obviously with things, the way things are at the moment, I think there's even less chance that you'll even see them because of COVID and the restrictions and things like that. There's even a screen between the two of us and the lift, apparently.
Wow.
As we go up, so we've been told. They've booked us separate hotel rooms as well. So the guidance and the pack that they send you and all the stuff you need to go through is pretty tiresome. And it's there's a lot to adhere to, if you like.
So when you're in there, when you're actually in the studio then, obviously they will be socially distanced because they probably are anyway when they sit. So are you and Dave got to be effectively socially distanced between you two?
Yeah, because we're not in the same household. We need to be apart to a certain degree as well. I'm not quite sure how it's going to go when we get into the studio, I would imagine we can both talk to each other before
are
we
you
go
just
on.
Dave, are you just doing a little tour of your house or something? That's like the third location that you know.
Yeah. Has a different set of network. Each one keeps kicking me off after a while. Sorry about that. I also just like to hear Scott.
It's like Cluedo.
He's just in his shed using different Zoom backgrounds. Have you got a dragon in mind then?
I was going to ask that. Yeah. Peter Jones, surely. Surely Peter Jones.
Well, we actually spoke to David about this last night, and we were talking about which one we would maybe prefer. But looking at them all, and based on our personalities, I would say Sarah would probably be the easiest to work with. In relation to the rest of them, I kind of get the feeling with some of them that they would kind of be a bit dismissive of us, and I don't know, it would be quite hard to work with them. So in that instance, I would probably say that she would be the easiest to work with. Similar personalities. So in
terms of like what is the expertise that you want from the dragon? So do you want advertising and marketing? Do you want effectively distribution networks? You know, what is it you're after from them? I mean, obviously you want their money, yeah, but you mentioned about you wanting their expertise, you want their knowledge, you want their contacts. What skills are you looking at in particular for them?
So I think it's more, how do you go from the place we're at today to having customers from Sweden, Australia, Holland, Germany, America, all asking when is it going to be available to then serving them? How do we do that? So distribution would be important, but also just getting into big venues. Like it's pretty hard for us. We're pretty quickly dismissed from big venues. And I think it's just that knowledge of how do you even start a proper conversation with some of these places.
Those names will get you in the door, won't they?
Yeah, and effectively that's all you want, really, isn't it? You just want an introduction or a meeting. And that way it goes back to, I suppose, the contacts and stuff, doesn't it? That's what you're after, is them opening doors for you to get into X, Y, and Z. And then ultimately, if you've managed to secure an investment with the dragon, you probably, if you can get your foot in the door with these other people, you're probably going to be able to sell it to them if you can sell it to a dragon, you know what I mean? So it's those opportunities, I suppose, isn't it?
I think, if we get into one of the big venues that hosts, well, for example, the Ali Bally or even Minehead at Butland, I mean, if we get into one of them and people are drinking it all weekend, once people see that and it's successful at one big venue, then the other big venues will want to get part of it as well.
It's like most things, isn't it? And you can look at whether it's these social influencers or YouTubers or whatever. It's that one stratospheric moment where a throwaway comment by Phil Taylor, Wayne Mardle, or whoever, or a by chance, happen chance sort of marketing opportunity happens. Then loads of people see it, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh wow, shit, what's he drinking? And then it's like, oh, he's drinking this. Oh, I've got to get some of that. And then all of a sudden, you just go like that. Then you're like, woof.
That's it.
And it's just that one opportunity, that one little nugget of, you know, and it could be somebody that follows you, somebody that drinks yours, drinks, whatever it may be. It's just that one little boost. And as soon as you've got that, it just snowballs then after that, doesn't it? And all the things then fall. And as you say, Minehead get it. And Ali Pally, like, God, we've got to get involved with these guys. And then all of a sudden you look at the island one, the ground, so you double in and double out or whatever. And then you look at the Rico Arena and you look at, well, if that's the case, then all of a sudden wherever the European tour goes, you've got to look at their venues and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden it's like, Jesus Christ, you know, and you went from this to that in 2 years, 5 years, whatever.
And if you're going to these venues and you're going to watch the darts, you're more inclined to be buying the Double Trouble product. That's why you're there, because people love the darts. And we feel that the taste of the spirits, the quality of the spirit is good enough that you will continue to drink it. It's not as if you're going to just have one or two and think, oh, well, that was all right. But we think that they'll continue to go for it after that. So
yeah,
no, great quality products.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, if the Dragons don't take you on, we need to pitch this to the Wolf, don't we?
we do need to pitch it to, yeah, because whether he'll open doors or not, but he looks like he's got a bit of backing behind him, doesn't he? That's come from, I don't know. But just on that, I mean, obviously don't give away anything that you don't want to, but I assume that's something that you guys would want to carry on sort of moving forward, if you and Dark Wolf, and because that matchup, I mean, it's great for us because we've been involved in, like, not involved, that's the wrong phrase. We've obviously know you guys, and Dark Wolf helped us massively in our...
Well, charity's big with him as well. Yeah. You know, certainly we know how much he donated to us.
Yeah.
How much did we raise in the end? Was it...
About 13 grand or something.
Yeah, and he put over 10 of that in.
So, which is just, like, ridiculous. Like, just absolutely ridiculous. Literally, it's ridiculous. I had texting the very first time. I had texting. He's like, have you seen our,
Just Giving
page? I was like, no. So I went on there. I was like, what? Who's this dude?
Oh, yeah.
That's
where the story started.
And that's where the story started. Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, so that's, we're sitting here as TBR, and we're thinking, like, okay, so we know Dave and Scott and Double Trouble helped us out with our charity helped out with our, you know, with our record attempt, and obviously Dark Wolf did as well. And then it's now, well, actually, those two are now talking, and that's brilliant as far as we're concerned. So, you know, that I'm dead excited as to where that can go. And one question I did want to ask you, he's obviously launched his YouTube channel. Have you had any discussions about you getting your product either endorsed on there? Are you allowed to do that? Can you do that?
On his YouTube channel?
Yeah.
So I think on his launch, he mentioned us as a partner.
Right.
Yeah, it went along the bottom, didn't it?
Yeah.
He thanked Double Trouble Drinks. I saw that on the bottom of the launch, yeah.
So I don't know what will happen with that. I mean, it was a very quick conversation over Twitter, really. He says, I'd like to give out a load of prizes. How much for 100 taster packs, right? Go ahead. And next 10 minutes, the money was in the account almost.
It's incredible.
So, yeah. He seems genuine and seems to want to support, like, small businesses and help them out. And he's done a lot for others. So, yeah, hopefully we'll continue to work with him.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
So I think that just about wraps us up for this
week.
We're just over the hour mark. Like I say, you'll certainly be endorsed on our YouTube channel when this one goes out.
Loved it. So
should we say our goodbyes? David and Scott, first of all, thank you very much for sharing that with us. We've really enjoyed it. Great pitch. First of all, congratulations on being finalists in the Scottish Gin and the Newcomers and the Fruit Flavoured categories. I don't doubt you're placed really, really highly on there, and I'm pretty sure that you've got a quality enough product to win at least one of those categories.
Yeah,
but congratulations on just getting your name in amongst. I was looking through the other finalists, and there's some big names in there. So, yeah, congratulations on that one. And thank you very much for joining us. So if you guys would like to say your goodbyes first.
Thanks very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. As always, next time, drinking.
Yeah.
I feel like I've missed out watching you two drink.
We're professionals.
We get the podcasts are rubbish, but we drink okay. So that's...
Duncan?
Thanks for letting us be involved. Good luck with Dragon's Den. You answered all the questions quite well, so yeah, we'll see the TV episode soon, hopefully.
Yeah,
hopefully not the bloopers TV episode.
Really enjoyed it. Loved chatting to you guys. Loved sort of grilling you for a little bit on the numbers and stuff, but I'm sure it's nothing compared to what you'll go through on the day. I'm just genuinely excited as to where you guys can go. I love the idea. I love the philosophy you've got for your business and everything. So just dead genuinely excited about what could happen. Love this episode. Love you guys being involved. Would love you to come back on, as we've said afterwards, talk about your sort of experiences on the show and stuff. And I'm pretty sure that I can say this won't be the last time that we'll be hearing from you guys on TBR. So. All the best. Hope the episode goes really well. Hope you get an investment. and basically good luck for me for everything that the future holds for you guys.
Yeah, I totally echo everything that Gaz just said there. Gaz and I, and obviously Andy through the TBR, but through the darts, we've been really bought into your story from the start, and we've been excited to see which way it goes. So when he told us you're going to be on Dragon's Den, I tell you what, we were excited to hear that.
Yeah.
So first, you really have to say good luck with that. I hope it goes well for you. I hope you get what you want out of it. But for TBR, I'm out.
Yeah, and I'm out.